Last week, I issued a little bit of a challenge at the end of the sermon. I challenged you to write your own parable. And some of you took me up on that, and I just want to say thanks for that, because that was really meaningful. They were beautiful parables. They communicated truth really well. They were personal, and they brought glory and honor to God. They highlighted who He is in those parables that I received. That was a real delight. The challenge is still open. In fact, if at any point, well, we're talking through the parables of Jesus, and that's going to be for several weeks still, if any point you have something come to mind and you want to share that parable with me, just write it down, email it to me, whatever you want to do, give it to me at some point. I really do think that when we start to think through these things, it brings us closer to understanding how Jesus taught and what he was trying to do with those parables. And so be thinking that through. All right, kids, let me have your attention for just a minute. On the tables in front of you, there are some activities that you can participate in during the next little while here. There are some activity sheets there, and all of that relates to what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about a parable that a lot of you will know. It's a parable about a farmer who goes out and casts seed into his field, and the seed lands on different kinds of soil. A lot of you have heard this story before. So there are some activity sheets on your tables that you can do that follow along with that story. Then there are also these plates, three plates on your tables with cups on them, and those cups have different things in them. Hold on, don't mess around with those right now. We're going to talk about those a little bit later in my lesson here, and we'll have some fun with those. So stay tuned. We'll get to those in just a little while. All right, this morning's parable is the parable of the sower. It's a familiar story. We're going to break it down some, and we're going to try to figure out how it applies to our lives today, because I really believe that it does in a profound way. But first, let's talk a little bit about the setting for this parable. This is pretty fascinating. In one of the reference books that I read this week as I was getting ready to preach this sermon, they mentioned a location that has been traditionally assigned as the place where Jesus would go once in a while to teach or preach. Along the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, near to where Jesus did most of his ministry, there's this unique little cove on the shoreline that is now called the Cove of the Parables or the Cove of the Sower. It's widely believed that it was in this cove that Jesus met with crowds of people, and in the case of this parable, he would sit in a boat just offshore and speak to the people on the shore. So after a little research, I found a teaching video series from an organization called Appian Media. They produce these free teaching videos created in the area where Jesus actually lived and did ministry. And so I downloaded one of those videos, and I found a segment that they made on this particular parable. It was pretty interesting, especially since they included this little audio experiment that you're about to see. So here is, pay attention to the screen, here's the teaching segment about the Cove of the Sower.
We know from Luke chapter 5 that one of the times Jesus was coming along this side of the sea, there were a lot of people crowding around him trying to hear him. And when he got to some spot around here, he got into a boat with Peter and pushed back from the shore and spoke up to the people that were still on the land. Now, standing here in this cove, you can turn around and see it forms kind of a natural amphitheater. And it's really easy to imagine Jesus. This is his stage as he turns and faces the people and speaks up to them.
Many people have questioned whether or not Jesus could actually be heard by a large group of people if he's a few feet off the shoreline. Let's do an experiment. Let me go up the hill a little ways. When I get up there, I want you to read the parable of the sower in a natural but loud speaking voice, and let me see if I can hear it.
Sounds good.
Alright, I'm going to read from Matthew 13.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down.
The instant he started talking, I thought for a second he was still using the intercom. I could hear him perfectly. No doubt, if I was twice as far away, I could have heard him easily.
And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying,
a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear.
The parable of the sower really marked the beginning of Jesus using parables in his ministry. That one really paved the way, and you finally get to the end of the parable when Jesus has this invitation, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Explaining even to his disciples afterwards, who didn't get the parable, that we need to make sure that we're paying attention and allowing Jesus to teach us what he wants to teach us, and that we're going to hear and allow his word to go deep into our lives.
Fascinating, isn't it? Love that. This makes things more real for me, even more real as I study through these stories and listen to the parables again. I love seeing the actual places where Jesus lived and where he did ministry. So, from there, where do we go? What about the crowd that Jesus was teaching? Let's talk about them for just a minute here. The people in the crowd that Jesus was talking to were mostly illiterate. There weren't many in that area who were taught to read and write. And so the way that Jesus taught would have to be different than what we might think of when we consider the way that we're taught. And we know that Jesus certainly was creative in how he taught people. Most of the people in the crowds were familiar with working the soil. Many of them were farmers themselves and lived off the land. Many others at least had a field or a garden of some sort that they used to supplement their food supply. So this was a common sight to them. When Jesus used parables like this, featuring a farmer sowing seeds in his field, the people could easily picture what it was he was talking about. This wasn't a stretch for them. Something that made this method of teaching unique to Jesus was the fact that when he taught, he presented a message that was deeply connected to himself. The message Jesus communicated could not be separated from the messenger. The words of Jesus were portrayed in the life of Jesus. The word became flesh in the person of Jesus. And so we're called to see Jesus with our eyes and hear him with our ears. Now, the crowds also had a significant mountain that stood in the way of them fully receiving what Jesus was offering them. It was the mountain of expectations. Throughout the Gospels, we see this struggle. As Jesus taught, as he proclaimed, as he did miracle after miracle, there was a growing awareness that he could be the promised Messiah who had come to save Israel. And that awareness created conflict. Many Israelites had an expectation that the Messiah would come and take the throne of Israel, overthrowing their Russian oppressor, or their Roman oppressors, and return Israel to its glory days of being the most powerful nation on earth. Yet here's Jesus, far from the Jewish hub of Jerusalem, ministering to the poor, to the sick, to the marginalized. And he's not talking about an uprising. He's talking about a farmer sowing seeds in his garden. He's not on a throne. He's sitting in a fisherman's boat. He's not running for office. He's walking the shore of the Sea of Galilee, addressing crowds with word pictures. Jesus was not meeting the expectations of most of the people that he met. Instead, he's confusing them with stories. Now, before we get too judgy, we have to admit that we have a problem with expectations as well. There definitely are times when we have in our minds exactly what God should do for us. We wonder why he isn't answering us when we think we see what the answer to our prayers should look like so clearly. Why can't he? God's not as generous as we expect. He's not as fast as we expect sometimes. He's not as direct or clear as we expect. Well, then and now, expectations stand in the way of us seeing or hearing Jesus clearly or receiving what he's offering us readily. So pray through that with God, especially if you're seeing that as a problem in your own life. Ask him to help you set aside your expectations of him. Tell him that you want to see and hear Jesus clearly when he teaches. Jesus wasn't just teaching that crowd by the lake. He's teaching you and me right now, and we have to set aside whatever stands in the way of us seeing and hearing him as clearly as we should. So turn now to Matthew chapter 13. Let's read the parable. We've heard some of it read once already in the video. And then we'll also read in a little bit Jesus' explanation of this parable. But this to start with is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. And this is what Jesus said. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depths of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So instead of giving the people this charismatic leader who would take control of the land by force and reestablish the throne of Israel, what does Jesus give the people? He gives them a story. And it's a story about a farmer, some seeds, and the ground. In the story, there were four types of soil that the scattered seed landed on. Now, in those days, in that area, seed was often scattered by hand. It was thrown out on the field where it was being planted. The fields would have been plowed once to loosen the soil and clear it of weeds. Then the seed gets scattered on the ground, and then the soil is plowed a second time to cover those seeds, to bury them. Along the perimeter of the fields were walking paths. That soil was not planted intentionally, as it was hard and it wouldn't be a good spot for seed to grow. They wouldn't do that on purpose. But inevitably, some seed would get tossed too far and would land on that path. It was not uncommon at all for birds to be waiting nearby and swoop in and snatch the seed off of that path. Some of the seed would fall on soil that was mostly rocks with very little topsoil in there. That soil was not great for growing things. In little pockets among the rocks, the topsoil sat with little room for roots to spread and little chance for rain to soak into the soil to keep the plants watered. Now, in a little bit, I'll show you a picture of some of the soil that I once worked with as an agriculture teacher in Haiti. It was a major challenge. You'll understand this a little better. Some seed was tossed onto soil that had a lot of weeds in it. That seems to be the theme of this year's growing season here. The weeds have absolutely loved the rain as much as whatever it is we're trying to grow. Weeds have taken over. Well, those seeds didn't have much of a chance for a productive life, as the thorns stole all the nutrients from the soil and the moisture from the soil and even blocked the sunlight for the plants that were supposed to be growing up. And then there was a seed that fell on good soil. That soil had been worked well by the farmer. Few rocks, no weeds, lots of organic matter, and the ability to retain moisture for the plants. The seeds would thrive there. We're not told what that specific crop was that farmer in the parable was sowing, but we know that it could produce 30, 60, or even 100 times what was planted. So for reference sake, if I planted one grain of wheat in good soil on a good year, that one seed could potentially produce 300 to 400 grains of wheat on that one plant. Wheat plants can have multiple stalks. Each stalk is capable of producing like 40 to 60 grains of wheat right on that stalk. Now, obviously, these estimates are made in areas where the soil's rich and chemical fertilizers are used, but looking at the numbers Jesus used, we can see that they're completely realistic, and they would make sense to the crowd that's listening to him. Now, we have to work a bit to do this, but I want you to try to imagine the reaction of the disciples after Jesus finishes this parable. He has a huge crowd following him. They believe that there were hundreds of people there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. They wander out to this amphitheater-like cove. Jesus takes the position of a teacher or rabbi sitting down, and he opens his mouth. And much to their bewilderment, this weird little story about a farmer comes out of it. So the disciples courageously approach Jesus and they ask him, "What are you doing?" And Jesus' response was what we looked at last Sunday about why he used parables. But then Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of the parable that he just told. And he only explains it to the disciples, not to the whole crowd. So this is what Jesus said about the parable. This is Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23. He says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. And now the disciples hopefully had some idea of what Jesus was actually talking about. They'd have to figure this out since Jesus would say a lot in parables. Some gospels record that for a time, Jesus only taught using parables. And there are apparently many, many more parables than what we get to see. So let's dig a little into the meaning of the parable. Jesus talked about the different soils. The seed, first of all, the seed represents the word of the kingdom. It's a little bit vague. I want to restate something that I think is really important for us. The word means something that is uttered by someone. In this case, it's something uttered by Jesus. And as John said, the word, the voice of God's kingdom, became flesh in Jesus. The word of the kingdom is more than just written words. The word of the kingdom are things uttered by Jesus, but also lived out every minute by Jesus. The way that Jesus ends his parable with the crowd makes more sense to me in this light. He invites us to see and to hear the words of the kingdom. Okay, so we're back now to the path on the side of the garden. What does this represent? What is Jesus trying to tell us when he talks about the seed falling on the path? There are some who simply do not have the capacity to receive the word of the kingdom. They may hear truth or even see it in action, but their hearts are so hard that nothing penetrates. Bottom line, they're not looking, they're not listening. And so even if the kingdom message reaches them, it doesn't register, and the enemy simply snatches away what was right there in front of them. In rocky soil, there is no depth to the soil. It exists in shallow little pockets. When a seed falls there, it sprouts, but it can't last. In a life that reflects rocky soil, the message of the kingdom arrives. It's received with great joy, but it never develops deep roots. When the rain stops, While plants in good soil may simply go further into the soil to find water, to find nutrients, the plant on rocky soil can't, and it withers. And I know plenty of people who have gotten very excited about Jesus when they first meet him, when they first hear about him. But the reality of following a Savior who isn't there to make things easy for us all the time sinks in and they fade. The example of the thorny soil is so clear. The word of the kingdom arrives, it's well received, but then life takes over. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the kingdom in that person's life. They want what the world offers. They're caught up in the cultural call to keep up with the Joneses. The earthly life wins out over eternal life. The word of the kingdom fades away in this kind of life, and it just gets lost. But there is good soil. There are those who see and hear the word of the kingdom, and they receive him wholeheartedly. They hold on tight to Jesus. They act on what they see and hear, and the word produces fruit in their lives. It produces the fruit of the Spirit. It empowers people with spiritual gifts. Good works naturally spring up from good soil. So which soil best reflects our lives? Which soil best reflects what we want in our lives? All right, kids. Now look at those plates. There are three plates on your table, and each of those plates has these three cups on them. They look like this. There's three different things in those cups. One of those cups has rocks in it. Okay? Are rocks a good place to plant things? No, they're not, are they? The other one that's a little lighter has sand in it from the volleyball court down here. What happens with sand? It dries out really quickly. Well, you can plant things in sand and they'll come up. They don't last because sand dries out and the plants die because sand doesn't hold moisture. So then you have this third cup. And the third cup has soil in it. It has potting soil in it. And so I want you to take that one and I want you to look at it. And I also want you to go on your table. There's a white envelope on your table. And I want you to open that up. In that envelope are three seeds. One for each of those cups of potting soil. And so I want you to take those seeds out. And if you have more than three kids at the table, look at a table where it's mostly grown-ups and go steal one of their seeds. Take that seed. And that seed, by the way, is a bean seed. Okay? Take that. And this is not a Jack and the Beanstalk kind of seed. That's not what you're getting out of this. Take that seed. And I want you to take the seed. And I'm not going to ask you to dig in the dirt. You don't need to do that. We don't need to get you all dirty. I want you to take that seed, put it on top of that soil, and I want you to just take your finger and push it down in there, okay, till it's underneath the soil, okay? So push those bean seeds down in there, and then when you've done that, what I want you to do is take that planted cup, and I want you to take it to one of the tables on the side walls. There's two tables here. Take it over there and put it on that table, because what we're going to do is I'm going to grow these seeds here. And I'm going to keep them in a place where you guys can see them when you come back on Sundays. And then eventually we're going to see what these things do because we still have time this season to get beans. So we're going to give it a try. So I want you to plant those and I will take care of them and I will let you know on our next family service. I'm going to bring them in here so you can see how your bean plants are doing. All right? So there you go. What kind of soil is the farmer hoping for? What kind of soil is Jesus hoping for? I want you to note that he scatters the seed of the word of the kingdom everywhere. But what kind of soil is he hoping that it settles in? And do we actually have a role to play in this? When Jesus told this parable about the soils, was this intended to be a fatalistic, this is the way it is, only the very few actually meet the criteria kind of message? Or was there an invitation in there? Was he maybe calling us to cultivate the soil of our lives as he offers us the word of the kingdom? I want to share a picture with you from my former life as an agriculture teacher in Haiti. This picture is posted on the wall of my office in direct view of where I sit at my desk. It is a hope-filled picture for me, and I mean picture. It's a print from 35 millimeter film because there was nothing digital when I took this picture years and years ago. But I want you to notice something about this picture, okay? This is where I lived. This is a garden, a very typical garden on the sides of the mountains in Haiti. Now, I want you to look at the soil right here. I want you to look at the soil up here. Are we seeing good soil there?
No.
No, not even close. It's terrible soil. It's loaded with rocks, and the reason why you're going to see rocks through here is because of the erosion problem. Because over decades of erosion have taken the topsoil and washed it off the mountains. There was practically nothing left for them to plant in, but this is all that they had, and so it's all that they could use. Was soil that looked like this all over the area where I worked. What I taught the people to do there when I was an agriculture teacher in Haiti was twofold. First, do something to slow the erosion. And what we taught them to do was to dig trenches along the level lines of the side of the mountain. And as the heavy rains came, and washed even more soil, what was left down the side of the mountain, the topsoil would get stuck in the trenches that we had them dig. It would stay there and the rain would go through, but the soil would stop. Secondly, I taught them to gather whatever organic matter they could find, weeds, leaves, whatever it was, and make compost out of it. That compost was then put in these trenches where they dug it out for erosion control. And if you look down here, you're going to see soil that looks very different than this. That's what I did. That's what I taught them to do. And those plants, as you can see, actually thrived in horrible soil because we rebuilt the soil, taught them how to do that, and they caught on to it. And a lot changed for them because of that. Now listen, the analogy in this is simply this. I don't believe that God is done with the soil of my life. I believe that Jesus will continue throughout my life to speak the words of the kingdom to me. I'm going to see and hear from Jesus my entire life. And I believe that I have every day an opportunity to cultivate the soil of my life in such a way that I can receive the word and give God the opportunity to create a great harvest in my life. Because there's nothing wrong with the seed. The word of the kingdom, spoken and lived out by Jesus, is all-powerful. It has unlimited transformational power. And with the Spirit of Jesus living in me, anything is possible. But how's my sight? And how's my hearing? Am I just passively listening to everything that comes at me? Or am I seeking the word of the kingdom? Am I only responding emotionally to what I hear, allowing the light of the truth to just fade away when things get difficult? Am I hearing but ineffective because I'm more concerned about the voices of the culture that I live in, or the worries that I have, or the distractions that consume me? Or am I actively and intentionally cultivating my eyes to see Jesus and my ears to hear Jesus? Are the words of the kingdom, spoken and lived out by Jesus, the treasure that I seek most in life? You don't have to be a farmer to understand what Jesus is saying through this parable. He's calling us to be actively involved in cultivating good soil in our lives. Soil that will receive the word of the kingdom from Jesus in such a way that Jesus can produce a harvest in us. That is a treasure worth pursuing. Us and Jesus seeking his kingdom, hearing his words, watching him live those words out. We're going to share communion together now. I want you to get the elements in front of you. On your tables are plates that have the bread and the cup on them. Pass them around and get those in front of you now. See, communion itself is almost a parable. Jesus is speaking to us the word of the kingdom as he shares about the significance of his body and his blood. And he certainly went on to show us what it all meant. So apply today's teaching to what we're about to do right here. How is the soil of your life in relationship to what we're about to remember and celebrate? Are we going to blow through this as nothing more than a ritual, tradition? Will we engage in the moment and then allow our minds and hearts to quickly move on to other things? How distracted are we when we share the bread and the cup together? And this is not a guilt trip, it's not a judgment. It's an invitation to prepare. In this remembrance, do we truly see Jesus? Do we truly hear him? Are we allowing the significance of this symbolic act to sink in and take root in our lives? See, Jesus willingly laid his life down for the world. He's still speaking the words of the kingdom to the world and to you and me. He allowed his blood to be shed for the forgiveness of the sin of the world. Do we see him on the cross? Do we see what he's done? Do we hear his words? From Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 29, this is what happened around the time Jesus first shared this with his disciples. It says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples. And he said, 'Take and eat. This is my body. Let's take the bread together.'" Verse 27 says, "And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Let's take the cup together. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you have not stopped giving us the word of the kingdom. That through so many different ways, you continue to speak to us. Through your Spirit living in us, we receive the word of the kingdom on a daily basis. And that word is active and alive and ongoing. That growth, that cultivation of our lives is ongoing. And I ask that in that process you would help us to see clearly and to listen well to what Jesus is saying to us through his Spirit every moment of every day. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us that discipline and intentionality to cultivate the soil in our lives so that what you give us, we receive it well and we put it in action in our lives. We take it to heart. We allow it to take root and produce fruit in our lives. I thank you that even in the bread and the cup, we see and hear Jesus. Thank you for the body of Jesus, for the sacrifice that he made in our place, the ransom that he paid for our lives, Thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for the forgiveness of the sin of the world, for our sin. And thank you for all that you continue to do, to be very real to us, to be very current with us. Thank you for your word, for the Bible, for your word in Jesus, the word that's spoken to us through the Spirit, for all the ways that Jesus continues to teach us. And as we continue to work our way through the parables, I just ask again that you would give us understanding, that you would help us to see what you want us to see and hear what you want us to hear. Keep growing us, keep transforming us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.